Not that I would make it up anyways, but just to give you feedback response from her. I texted her today to see how she was doing. And this is her response. Praise God, Apostle and Pastor Lucia. I've gotten so many praises from family and friends about Dad's service that you performed. It was such a blessing. I want to thank you for the spirit of excellence that is upon you and Pastor and TFT. Love you and thank you for all your laboring for my dad. And so that's from Sister Wallace. And she was tremendously blessed. We had those who came in. I know Sister Shanice was there, Sister Robriel, Deacon Aquino, Sister Kianani was there earlier. And these were there, those who came there to help and serve the food and all. And that just, it just spoke. Her daughter was like, these are my words, my interpretation of what she shared. It's like, they're the real deal. It's like, this church is, yeah, this church has got it. This is the real deal here. And they were so blessed because came in and helped out. And they were moved by that, especially the, I don't know if she's a younger daughter or not, the one that lives down in Southern Cal. She was so impressed by your helping out and serving. And so you're to be commended for that. But that speaks of the ministry itself. And just thank you all for your prayers and intercessions. Thank you for supporting. And, you know, just get ready because God is moving.
Come on.
He is moving. We had a blessed time. Brother Joshua was there serving as armor bearer at the service. And I know they're probably looking over and saying, who is that big guy? And he's helping out. Oh, praise God. But it spoke loudly and in competition with no one. We simply want to glorify Jesus to the best of our spiritual ability. And may he receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen. But again, thank you for your prayers and intercessions for those of you who are able to come out. All right, let's receive an offering unto the Lord. Pastor Lucia wanted to share something. Oh, that's right, yes, because, you know, that guy that he talks about and he talks about and they try and get me to come to church and they listen to him, that guy, he likes to do altar calls at funerals. And,
come on.
You know, it just seems so, you know, out of the ordinary, and it's like, isn't he afraid people are going to get offended and mad and things like that? But he just went on ahead and he gave the altar call and three souls came in to the kingdom. These were those that raised their hand and said, yes, I did. The other ones, you know, you'd have people saying, no, I ain't doing all of that, you know, that kind of thing. But Jesus said, if you're ashamed to own me, I'll be ashamed to own you before my Father, which is in heaven. But it was a great blessing. Pastor Lucia assisted me during the service, and we just did what we could to make it a glorious celebration for her dad. What really hit me was when the veterans came through. And they did that salute, and it was just honor. When I was a teenager, I didn't appreciate the military. And coming up, by the time I got to be 18, the draft had ended. But when President Reagan was elected, he was considering reinstituting or re-implementing the draft. And so by that time, I was 21. And the age range was like from 18 up to 21, so I could have been drafted, but he never did that. But I didn't have that much of an appreciation for the military in the sense of fighting wars and things like that. That was just the mindset. But now I have so much respect and regard for the military and for the work that they do, because if you don't understand, you know, the importance of having a free country and then having soldiers, military personnel, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guards, Reserve to help protect the country from evil rulers, despots, dictators, if you will, from coming in to try and take over, If you don't understand the value of that, you better think again. Now, being where I'm at now, if I knew then what I know now, things would have been a whole lot different. But there's just such an appreciation for the men and women of the military. And to God be the glory. And if you served, thank you, in the military. If you have a loved one that served in the military, thank you for them. But, you know, again, perspective, and that's what we were talking about last Wednesday. And I was going to hit on it again tonight. I've got about 13 minutes to do that. But perception of things. You know, you may have grown up and saw things a certain way, but when you come into your own, and especially when the Lord Jesus Christ begins to remove the scales from the eyes, as he talked about in Revelation chapter 3, when he spoke to the church at Laodicea, and he says, anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can see. I have quite a few scriptures I was going to go over dealing with the seeing and the hearing and the heart and the condition of the heart, because, you know, we can see naturally, and that's good, and we're supposed to, but our perception on things, which gives us a perspective on life in and of itself, the way we see, it can be marred. And we can think that what we're seeing is correct, but actually it is so wrong, and we can become so strong in the wrong. I mean, there have been people who've done some evil things, and many of them did those evil things thinking that they were right in what they were doing. But when Jesus removes the scales from the eyes, like he did with the Apostle Paul, Paul thought, you know, he was a Pharisee, if you will. He was of the strictest sect, S-E-C-T, grouping, if you will, concerning the law of Moses. So he knew the law, and he said, concerning the law, I was blameless, circumcised on the eighth day, born out of the tribe of Benjamin. You know, so he had a pedigree. He had a reputation for being a committed Jew and committed to the law of God, being of the strictest sect. In other words, there were other groups out there, but they weren't as adherent or as strict concerning the law. But he was strict concerning the law. He said, concerning the law, blameless. And he was coming against Jesus. And he was trying to tear down the work that Jesus started. And Jesus says, I know what I'm going to do for him. I'm going to take him, and I'm going to make him work for me. And that same zeal he used to try and destroy my church, he's going to use it now to build my church. And Paul became a wise master builder of the kingdom of God. And to this very day, we preach and teach from his books that he wrote in the New Testament, if you will, more than probably any other book. You always hear, Paul said, or Paul taught this, or, you know, in the letter to Corinth, or the letter to Romans, or to the letter of Philemon, if you will. Always quoting from his works, his teachings, if you will. But the scales had to be removed from his eyes. And he said, in me, God showed mercy that others who would come after him would understand how God can show compassion for one. Because if he showed mercy towards him and he was trying to destroy the church, how much more mercy will he show to a sinner who simply just wants to repent of their sin? They weren't trying to destroy the church. They were destroying themselves, but they wanted mercy. And Jesus, his mercy is new every morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. He longs for none to perish, but all to come to repentance. So he had to have the scales removed. And this is what happens with people, especially with tradition. Jesus said it like this. He says, the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. In other words, in holding to the patterns and traditions that came down from grandma and or great-grandma and grandma and then mom and, you know, to you and then to your kids and all, and you're holding to these traditions, and it doesn't have to be just grandma or it doesn't just have to be women, but great-grandpa, grandpa, father, and, you know, and then you, dot, dot, dot. The traditions that we hold to, if it does not measure up to the word of God, we need to do away with those traditions. Because they will weaken the effect of God's powerful word. Hallelujah. Some people think, well, you know, this is how I grew up. This is just how I am. Well, this is just how you're going to change if you come to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Our unity, our oneness is in Christ Jesus. We have too many opinions, been raised up in different places. Some are rich, some are poor, some are in between, if you will, black, white, and everything in between, if you will, as far as ethnicity and all. And there are differences, but our commonality is in Christ Jesus. He's the unifier, if you will. You know, unity is in him. You know, some people will probably say, you know, well, I don't agree with everything the preacher says. You don't have to agree with everything the preacher says, but you do have to agree with everything Jesus says. And prayerfully, the preacher is preaching what Jesus says. And if you have a problem with what the preacher is preaching and he's preaching what Jesus says, then you have a problem with Jesus. Amen. And if you think Jesus is going to overlook your tradition, your whatever you think that you got that you can keep, that you really have to let go, because it's hindering you, it is separating you from God, you better let that stuff go. Praise God. Hallelujah. God ain't, he shows no favoritism. Oh, well, I have to take them because they have this, and this is the way they were raised up. He's like, I don't care what they did to you. When you come to me, if any man be in me, they're a new creation altogether. I'm going to make something new out of you. I'm going to make a masterpiece out of you. I'm going to take you and show you my glory and my power. And if you stop resisting me and holding fast to the way you were raised up and let me raise you up correctly, praise God. I'll put you on a shelf for all to see. Hey, you don't put light under a table. You put light up on a hill that it can be seen by men everywhere. Amen? Isn't that good news? Praise God. Hallelujah. So you don't have a problem that Jesus cannot solve. Your problems came out of the world, the flesh, or the devil. And Jesus says, I got to get rid of all of that mess. Praise God. I got to get rid of your bad habits. I got to get rid of your hang-ups. I got to get rid of all of that stuff so that you can now live the abundant life that I have given you freely. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brief testimony. Just a brief little peek in the window. You know, it was intense fellowship at the beginning stages of our marriage. But, you know, all it took was a word. All it took was a word. All it took was a word. And one word, and it just wiped things out and smooth. Because y'all been in LTJ, you know Pastor Lucia has probably told you some things. So it's not anything new, and the congregation probably is aware of it as well. But, you know, all it took was just one word, and things just smoothed out, and we just enjoy each other. Hallelujah. We love each other. Praise God. You know, it's the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. You're not supposed to be contending with each other, just tolerating each other. No, that's not. Tolerating somebody is not love. It's, you know, most wives don't love their husbands, and most husbands don't love their wives. You're missing out on the blessing of marriage. This is why some will say, don't get married. How old are you? I'm 22. That's too young to get married. Who said that? You didn't read that in the Bible. Jesus didn't say 22 is too young to get married. Mary was probably around 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there, young teenager. Joseph was older than she was. And before they came together, she was found with child, and that child was of the Holy Ghost. And after that child came, after that child who was our Lord and Savior Jesus, after he was birthed, that's when they came together and they had more children. But Mary got married young. So, you know, it ain't no, don't listen. All that hogwash and junk of the world, you know, it's really tough. You know, it's really hard. You know, it's really difficult. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. Take my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. No, I choose the arguing, the fighting, the bickering. I choose the madness. I hate you. That's insanity. If Jesus is trying to get something good to you and you'll choose because, well, that's just the way I am. That's just how I was raised. And you got to change. We have to grow up and we have to mature. Hallelujah. Well, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what kind of family I was raised up in. You don't know the kind of relationships I've been involved in. It don't matter. This is a new relationship. Praise God. Based on God's word and God's promises. Build off of that platform and not the platform that you came out of in the world. Amen. Am I making any sense? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we think we're supposed to argue. We're supposed to hate each other. We're supposed to be angry with one another. We're supposed to be disagreeing. We're supposed to see things differently. And Jesus is in you, and Jesus is in him, and y'all seeing stuff differently. Sounds like the church. Too many opinions. Everybody got their own opinion about a matter. And nobody consults the wisdom and counsel of God concerning the very matter. The Bible says this in Amos chapter 6? How can two walk together except they agree? Praise God. Praise God. Usher in the glory in your home. Hallelujah. Usher in the glory. Usher in the, how do I do that? First of all, you got to be in it, and it's got to be in you. If you think Jesus just won't, come on, Jesus, come on in the house. Come on, come on. Go, Jesus, go in that room. Go in that room. Go deal with her. Go deal with him. Go deal with the kids. Jesus, do all of this stuff. And you're still over there in your uncircumcised state and condition. And you want Jesus to go. He's like, no, first I want to deal with you. Mm-hmm. Let me in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, let me get in you. Let me work on you, because when I work on you, you're going to see everything different, because now you're going to be able to see. Right now you can't see because you're clouded by the way that you came from, the upbringing and everything else. All of that stuff, you're messed up by that stuff. I got to help you to see. I got to help you to perceive things. Your perception is off. It's like you think you got 20/20 vision, but it's actually worse than that. You don't see clearly. And the fact that you think that you can see when you cannot see, it's one thing if the doctor says you can't see. It's another thing if Jesus says you can't see. Praise God. I hope that makes sense. And if we say, well, I can see. I can see, I can see, I can see. I see everything the way it is. I see. And Jesus says, no, you don't. I can see. Jesus says, that darkness in you is great. It's so great it has deceived you to make you think that the way you see is real, but the way you actually see is wrong and it's off. Let me anoint you with some eye salve. So that you can see and perceive and walk, that you can actually see with the eyes of your understanding, because Paul said this. I'm going to stop in just a minute. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in the Amplified translation, and he was talking about the veil and how Moses put the veil over his face in order to cover. Now, I used to, and when you read it just from the Old Covenant, you think that Moses is trying to protect the people, because the people see Moses coming down from the mountain and he's glowing. And the people are like, whoa, Moses is glowing. And so you get the impression that Moses, for their sake, put a veil over him so that they wouldn't be all spooked out because he was glowing. But Paul says something totally different. He says, no, what Moses was trying to do was he was trying to cover it so that they wouldn't see the glory fade away. So Moses was covering
the glory, because he knew it was fading. He knew it was passing away, but he didn't want the people to know that it was passing away. And so Paul says it like this. So whenever the law is read, a veil remains over them. But when one repents and turns to Christ, the veil is taken away. And then you go from glory to glory to glory. Because see, once the veil is taken away, now you can see clearly rather than dimly. Pastor Lucia helped me out with that scripture. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I forget the exact verse, but Paul talks again about now we see dimly, if you will, dark. But then we'll see face to face. We'll see clearly. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I behaved as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so, you know, now we see dimly, but then we'll see everything as it is. And we'll be known even as we are known. And everything will be open. But we got to get ourselves to the place to where we perceive and see things from God's perspective and not our own. That the eyes of our understanding, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, may be enlightened. In other words, that the light will shine within our hearts and within our minds, illuminating us, so that now we start to see things from God's perspective. He says that we would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that we receive from our Father. It ain't just about just Bible study, church attendance. It's about a lifestyle of living as a son and daughter of the Most High God, bringing glory and honor to his name in this earth. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that our Father will withhold from us if we'll serve him upright. Because the one thing he will not do is give us stuff that'll take us away from him. But if we continue to pursue him, there's like nothing he will withhold from us. No good thing will he withhold from us who walk uprightly before him. Paul said it like this, the whole world is yours. He says, whether Paul or Cephas or Apollos, all things are yours. Dad didn't make this earth for the ungodly to enjoy it. He created it for his sons and daughters. He created it to have an extended family in the earth that he would give dominion to rule over this earth like daddy rules in heaven. Oh, praise God. Woo! Yeah, like dad rules in heaven. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what he wants. He wants us reigning now. Now. I was listening to a news segment today. They had this, the anchor was interviewing this, he's like a college professor, I believe, and he had been invited to this campus to come and speak to the students, and he has a conservative perspective. And so, I don't know about you, it's been a long time since I was in college, but college has gone mad with the liberal agenda and all. They have actually gone mad. What do I mean by that? They don't want to hear any other view or opinion other than theirs. And it's gone to the place to now where they will riot, destroy, fight against any other ideology. And so this gentleman and she was being interviewed, and she says, you know, they're talking about all of the problems that they're starting to have on the university campuses now. We know what happened over at Berkeley. You had that guy, and I don't agree with everything that he does, and I definitely don't agree with his lifestyle. I can't even pronounce his name. Anonymous, something like that. You sound like you're talking in tongues when you say his name. But anyways, Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo Yiannopoulos. He came there, and they resisted him. As a matter of fact, they started rioting. They started fires and things like that. Then Ann Coulter was going to come there, and they fought. Well, they didn't physically fight, but they rioted in order to keep her from coming there. And so college campuses have become this place where it's no longer about education, just like our K-12 system. It's no longer about education. Now it's about indoctrination in how to form a society and culture based on what certain people believe in. And so anyways, with that all being said, she was interviewing this guy, and so they were talking about all of the issues and the problems. Then she said to him, well, what do you think the solution is? And I know you're like a self-avowed, that's not the proper way to say it, but you're like a an agnostic, right? And he says, oh, yes, I was. And so it's like, what do you mean? It's like, well, after, you know, when you get older, you start to learn a lot. And things that you believed and thought when you were younger, you know, as you get older and mature, you no longer think that way. Everybody know that's true. When you're a child, you behave as a child, you do things as a child, but when you become a man or woman, you do adult things, okay? So he was saying, I see things different, and that, you know, what I didn't believe in before, I'm starting to believe now. And he says, and my wife, you know, she's a step ahead of me in this. And so basically what he was saying is I'm starting to believe in God, because I see all of this crazy stuff going on in society. So now he's starting to believe in God. So she asked him, she said, well, what do you think the solution is? I don't know. We need an awakening. I think half the church missed it. You got an agnostic saying, we need an awakening, if you will. In other words, the church is the answer. The church has the message, the church has the power, the church has the anointing, the church has the ability to turn things around, not in our own strength and might, but in the power of God. And if you don't think God wants to turn this thing around, you better think again. If you think he's just sitting up there saying, man, Jesus, I don't know what we're going to do with this society, and I hope the church makes it through, you know. No, he's like, no, I have put confidence in these that we have raised up in this hour as the church to take on Satan and his minions, to take on the cultures and the diverse views and opinions of men, to take that head on for the weapons of our warfare. This is what this passage really means. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The strongholds are the arguments, the vain imaginations, the various different beliefs that are out there that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God or against the knowledge of God's will. That we bring every thought, not just our thought, you can personalize it, yes, but it's the thoughts of others, to cast those things down with the power of the gospel. And we can't do it if all we do is lick our wounds and continue to behave like we didn't have God in our lives. We have to open up our eyes so we can see what God's plan and purpose is. So anyways, It was a good segment, and I'm like, yeah, an agnostic who's changing his views. His wife is a step ahead of him, and that's like he's following suit. And I pray that they'd come all the way into Jesus, praise God, because you see the madness that is going on in the world, and if you don't see it, you better get your head out of the dirt, out of the sand, and start to look. Jesus said it like this, lift up your eyes. The fields are white for harvest. Tell your neighbor it's harvest time. Harvest time. Harvest time. In Jesus' name. It's time to bring in the harvest. Hallelujah. No time to bellyache. You know, look what God does. Deacon Aquino, you have any reason to doubt God? None. Do you have ever? When you had that meeting, did it just make you want to serve Jesus more? It just made you, oh, praise God. You know, and then the group fending for you, you know, they're like, oh, you know. There may have been some naysayers, but there were those that were like, oh, we got to make sure that he gets this. Even to the point of, we don't want him to have no cut in his salary. That just makes you want to serve God all the more, show you how good God is. Hallelujah. Sister Kelly, did you want to serve God more after he opened up? It was like a week ago where she gave us a praise report, and you know how Pastor Lucia is. Pastor Kelly's might try and, you know, and I'll be looking, and I'm looking at the card, and I'm like, and she knows what I'm thinking, but she's already thought it, and I'm like, why didn't you just catch it? But anyways, it was a praise report that she had. She was going to have the interview, and this is not, you know, put her on blast or anything, but it's like, okay, because when I read the card, I'm like, you got it? But she solicited prayer, and God moved on her behalf. So when she went to the interview, how long did it take for them to call you?
Okay, so the interview was at 10 in the morning.
10 in the morning. 4:30. They called your boss, told them they were hiring you, and your boss had to come and tell you, you're going to be gone. Yeah, he had to write you a release date. Isn't that something? Praise God. If he'll do it for one, he'll do it for all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Just abide. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will, it shall be done for you. Okay. Promises of God are yes and amen. Let's go ahead and pray for the offer. Stand to your feet. In him, yes, and in him, amen. Hallelujah. Has everyone given that's going to give? My hallelujah. I didn't ask y'all to sing. That's my song. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Hallelujah. My hallelujah belongs to you, Jesus. Brother Kwame, them found out they're having a girl, and they're excited about it. Amen. They're not here tonight, but they're excited about having a little girl. My thing was, is if they wanted a boy, they could just call on Brother Deontay. Let me borrow one of yours. You got three of them. Praise God. Amen. Stretch forth your hands in faith. Anybody believe in God for something? Hallelujah. Put a seed, put a praise on it. Hallelujah. Master, we thank you. Thank you for this great and glorious evening. Thank you for your sons and daughters that are here in this house, in this place at this time. Thank you for those that were here earlier, even those that were not able to make it out tonight. We cover them all in the blood of Jesus. We pray the power of your blessing over each and every one, that you'll bless each and every one, keep them, make your face shine upon them, be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace, that your name will be over them and their household, that you may bless them.
their families, Lord, to the third and fourth generation. Raise up a godly seed, a godly heritage, a godly inheritance, Father, for your great name's sake. Lord, let your word continue to have free course in this house and free course in the lives of those who have ears to hear and receive what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Tonight, Father, anoint our eyes with eye salve that we may see clearly, that the eyes of our understanding shall be enlightened to know the hope of your calling. And as Paul was saying about losing the power of understanding, that we don't lose the power to understand, but we comprehend. With eyes we see, with ears we hear, and with the heart we believe and understand, and we live and declare your glory in the land. As we present before you these offerings tonight on behalf of your sons and daughters in this place, whether they be tithes and offerings, whether they be seed sowing for a particular need they're believing you for, and they're casting their bread upon the water, we pray that it will return to them not many days hence. But Lord, it won't just be what they sowed, but it'll be a great harvest as a result. For the seed that you sow shall yield and respond in your future. Command your blessing, Lord. For every person that needs a job, give them the job that they desire. Open that door of opportunity for them. For those that need a raise, they need an increase, Father. What they're making is not enough. You are the God who is more than enough. Show yourself as El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough to them. Shower your sons and daughters with your blessings in this house. Continue with the suddenlies. Things that were held up for some time, but all of a sudden, boom, it came forth. Continue with the suddenlies. Let there be increase in the lives of your sons and daughters. Those that are believing you, Father God, for businesses and already have businesses, let there be an increase of their clientele. Let there be a demand for their services, a demand for their business, Lord God. Let there be increase. Jesus said this, Father, in this you are glorified, that we bear much fruit. May we bear fruit in the kingdom, doing kingdom business, advancing the kingdom. May we bear fruit, much fruit, in our lives, Lord God, on the jobs, in the businesses, in families. Father, let our lives be fruitful for your glory. Just cause things to happen. Let the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it satisfy the hearts of your sons and daughters. Let it all of a sudden, Lord God, just things just begin to happen. Things that were held up for so long, all of a sudden breaking through, breaking through, breaking through, breaking through. The adversary that's trying to hold things back, he must loose them now. We call forth our angels, ministering angels, guardian angels, warring angels to come and do the bidding on our behalf. Bind the principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness that are trying to hold back what belongs to us, that there is no longer a praise in heaven, a brazen sky, but an open heaven over each and every one of your sons and daughters. Command the blessing upon them to prosper and to be in health, even as their soul prospers, to reign with Jesus, to glorify you in all that we do, in word and in deed. We thank you now, Master, and give you praise. Thank you for the power of the blessing. In Jesus' mighty name. Now be blessed as you go. The Lord see you safely to your destinations. No evil befall you, no plague come near you, no hurt, harm, or danger come your way, but that he will guide you safely. And when you lay down to rest, that you rest in his presence. And may the Lord impregnate you with visions and dreams of his divine will and counsel. May you wake up refreshed, strong, full of faith, giving glory and honor to God for another day that he's made. In Jesus' name. Everybody who agrees said, amen. All right, we love you. Thank you for coming out tonight. We have a guest who's with us for the very first time. His name is Nick Nick Baxter? Nick Baxter? Is that it? You're Nick. Okay. He's Nicky. He's Nick. This is Nicky's dad. Amen. Welcome him in Jesus' name. Thank you for coming to fellowship with us. If you have any questions, you can see me after service. Amen. And then there was another person. Oh, right here. Let me get the card. Tarika? Tarika. Okay, I was close. Tarika Mitchell, welcome. She came all the way from Shreveport, Louisiana. Welcome in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. We thank you for coming to fellowship with us. We pray that you've been blessed. And Jesus loves you. We'll see you all Sunday. We don't have anything else going on. Evangelism is this Friday, Saturday, I should say, July 15th, 10:30. Brother Kwame will text you or send you a Facebook messenger. Sign-up sheets are at greeters table for AOH Boot Camp, July 17th through the 19th. That's this coming Monday. Monday through Wednesday, and then we go to camp on Thursday. So ages 5 to 12 is $25. See Sister Diana. We need sponsors for 6. So that's like $150. So anyone wishing to or able to give towards that, sponsor one child if you can, then by all means, please do so. But see Sister Diana, let her know. If you can sponsor one, we'll take one. Need it by this Friday or Sunday. Deacon Aquino said he'll take one. Brother Joshua said he'll take the rest. I'll take yours, Brother Finn, and I'll take yours, Brother Tim. I'll take you. Praise God. Amen. I'm just joking. But anyways, it looks like that's covered, Sister Diana. So, and then for camping, The camping is $35 for ages 12 and up, $12 for 4 to 11, and ages 4 and under are free. See Sister Shanice for that. Money's due Friday, July 14th, latest Friday.
No, that's for AOH.
Okay, that's for AOH. Okay, and camping is the 16th. So we need the money because they have to go buy food. The kids are going to eat well. They're going to have a good time. They're going to have a joyous time. They always do have a blast. So, amen. All right, we do love you.